Indiana will be the first right-to-work state in the Rust Belt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. Indiana is on its way to becoming a right-to-work state, which means, basically, that workers can't be forced to join a union in order to get or to keep a job. For more, we go to Timothy Slaper. He's Director of Economic Analysis with the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why does it matter that Indiana is becoming a right-to-work state?
The reason why Indiana chose to go forward with it is that our state is very dependent upon a lot of out-of-state investment to create jobs. And the Indiana Economic Development Corporation has tried to negotiate sometimes with companies, and some companies just won't talk to them if we did not have right-to-work legislation in place.
So do you think the supporters of this are right, that this will help bring jobs to Indiana?
I think it would further solidify Indiana's position as a good place to invest in. The governor has spent a lot of energy and a lot of time trying to build a better sandbox, and I think this just moves us perhaps into that category of the best sandbox to conduct business.
Now, opponents say that this could lead to a decline in pay over time or declining working conditions. Has that happened in other right-to-work states?
The research on that shows that there has been very marginal differences in wages. In other words, the results are ambiguous. We haven't seen across-the-board studies that say time and time again that wages have fallen for those in the state.
Now, what does this tell us about the strength of unions in the Midwest?
Well, I think it shows that they're on the relative decline. I mean, unionization rates have fallen considerably over time. For one, because manufacturing as a share of the economy has declined considerably. Now, that having been said, in the Midwest, unions are still hold a whole lot of sway because, you know, they're heavily involved in the auto sector, for example.
Timothy Slaper is Director of Economic Analysis with the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University. Thanks.
Thank you.
We've heard all morning about the money Facebook will make by going public, but what'll the company do with its newfound cash? When Google went public, it acquired dozens of startups, and many analysts say Facebook could follow suit. Jennifer Collins reports.
To get an idea of where Facebook might spend its money, take out your smartphone and try uploading photos to your Facebook page. Deborah Williamson is an analyst with eMarketer. She's tried it.
Then you go, wait a second, I want to upload, you know, 20 photos. I don't want to upload one at a time, and I can't find a way to do that on my mobile.
Williamson says Facebook needs to improve the mobile experience, especially if it wants to keep attracting new users. Facebook agrees. Six of the 11 companies it bought last year dealt in mobile.
I wouldn't be surprised if they make more acquisitions in the mobile front.
She says Facebook may also buy companies for their human assets, the tech geeks who work there. Rebecca Lieb is with the Altimeter Group.
Facebook is probably going to start having a bit of an attrition problem when it goes public and creates a bunch of instant, you know, 20-something millionaires overnight. Some of these people are going to want to buy homes or travel or drive Maseratis.
Writing code, driving a Maserati. That's a tough choice. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed this morning. The S&P is up 0.1%. The NASDAQ is up 0.4%. And the Dow is down 9 points at 12,707. We've got new jobs numbers today showing fewer people applied for unemployment benefits last week. Tomorrow, we'll get the biggie, the monthly jobs report.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, agents committed to small business success. 1-866-200-4-BIZ. We are insurance. We are farmers.
And now to Australia, where a bus company owner sold his business. But instead of pocketing the money, he decided to share it with his employees. The BBC's Duncan Kennedy reports from Sydney.
They're already calling him Australia's best boss. Ken Grender has just sold his bus company and decided to spread his good fortune. His 1,800 staff are each getting a share of $15 million, an average of $8,000 each. Ken says he's dismayed how much some executives are earning and wanted to reward his loyal staff.
Bus drivers, as these guys will testify, aren't the highest paid people in town, but they're totally dedicated. They've worked very hard.
Some employees wept when they heard the news. Others phoned their banks, thinking the extra money in their account must be a mistake. The employee Shane Baker says his daughter's big day can now go ahead.
Me and my wife were struggling to work out how we were going to pay for my daughter's wedding, and now I don't have to work 7 days. I've only got to work 6 days a week. So.
Ken Grender has been in his family bus business for 66 years. He says the giveaway has been liberating. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Duncan Kennedy for Marketplace.
And finally...
That's right, woodchuckers, it's Groundhog Day!
This February 2nd, we asked a couple economists to play Groundhog for us and help predict the economic future. First up is economist Tara Sinclair at the George Washington University.
I don't know as a groundhog if I'm going to see my economic shadow, because I need to know what's going on with Europe and if it's a cloud over our sky or not.
And groundhog number two, Jack Ablin, chief investment officer at Harris Private Bank.
Poking my head out of my burrow here, I think that things are looking to improve. What we're looking at is a situation in Europe that's not deteriorating. It's really just staying sideways. And the longer the news stays sideways, the more insulated I think we all become.
If you want to join our gang of economic groundhogs, head to our website at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's a funny thing, but in Las Vegas, the number of foreclosures and the price of a college degree move together.
It just seems so hard to imagine that, because it's like it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The state of things through the eyes of college students. It's the real economy. Our election coverage next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.